Good morning, my name is Karen and I'll be doing our Bible readings this morning. There are two. The first one is from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And the second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us."
Karen. That's wonderful. Thanks, Karen. Good morning, everyone. My name's Etienne, and I get to talk for not very long. Next little while to talk about essentially the verses that Karen read for us this morning. But I want to start by saying, you know, sometimes, if you're like me, the Bible can be seem a very complicated book. Message of the church can seem like a very complicated message. There's so much history. There are so many names. There are so many words that you don't really understand. Right, and it feels all a bit overwhelming to take it in. So I want to speak a very simple message this morning. I want to pare it right back down to the most basic question. And the question is this: what is Christianity? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it involve? What, if you can just say to me very simply, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I want to show you what that means today from the verses that Karen read to us. Because I think the Bible actually answers that question over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's probably repeating itself, even though it seems very complicated. You know, very big names. But it's not. It wants to show us again and again and again and again what it means to be a child of God, be a Christian. And let me just, in very simple ways, I hope it's very simple this morning, show you how we get it. We read words of just wonderfully brought us into the picture of where this ancient nation Israel is, and we come from them spiritually. They were in bondage. Slavery in Egypt, God brings them to a place in the desert called Mount Sinai, and their leader Moses meets with God on the summit of Sinai. And here's what God says to him. He says these words. Thanks, Chris. Can you pop him on? That's all that's going to be on the screen this morning. Everything about what it means to be a Christian is kind of there. Let me show you how. First thing it means to be a Christian is that God has at some point in your life come to you. He came to you. He showed himself to you. And he made you his child. In Israel's case, we already heard what it looked like. This is a group of people trapped in slavery, in bondage, separated from God. What did God do? You yourselves, God says to Moses, have seen what I did to Egypt. I came to you in your bondage. I lifted you up. I carried you. Love that beautiful imagery on eagle's wings. And I brought you to myself. See, the whole thing about the Exodus story, its beauty, its paramount place, if you know the history, is Sinai. It's the point where God says, you are going to see me. You're going to know me. We're going to have a relationship. I'm going to be your father. You're going to be my child. We're going to be in a living relationship. I'm going to show myself to you. That pattern that happened to old Israel thousands of years ago happens over and over again, and it happens to you too. Humanity is in bondage to sin, to Satan, to all that is against what is good and what is God. And what does God do? He comes to you. He came to us. Came in his Son, Jesus Christ. Broke us out of what it means to live under the power and the penalty of sin. Brought us to himself. Right? He comes to us. Comes to you. And you say, still, it's all in the past. A Jewish nation of thousands of years ago, Jesus Christ even 2,000 years ago, that's a real long time ago. What about me? What about now? How does God come to me now? Can I just be practical? God comes to us in a remarkable amount of ways. Some things that you should watch out for. Now, the truth is, in this room, there's no end of ways in which this either has happened or is happening right now. Christians, in your life, if you know a Christian, it is God who's coming to you. Children, if you grow up in a Christian home, it is God who has placed parents who knows him, loves him, who brings him to you. Parents, if you have children who are Christians, it is God who is coming to you. Right? If you're desperate and you're in rock bottom, you've tried everything in life, nothing worked. And for the first time, perhaps, you're somewhat open to think, well, maybe there is a God, maybe there is hope for me in whatever you want to call Christianity, religion, church. That is God coming to you. He came to Israel at their lowest, most rock-bottom point in life. That's where they found him. And interestingly, he brings him to the desert. A lonely, scary place. That's where they see him. If you're in that place, you have to ask yourself, is God coming to me? Right? Maybe in dreams. Maybe there's just a strange, a mysterious urge that you have to explore things of faith, things of God. The Bible, Andrew prayed about it so wonderfully. It's God's gift to us of him coming to us. Reading is your thing. if watching The Chosen is your thing, these are all ways in which God loves to show himself, to come to you, to come to me, to come to humanity. The music we sing, the worship, right? That's what we want to ask ourselves. All the while knowing that this is part of how God works. Part of Christianity, I'd say all of Christianity, starts with God coming to us. He makes himself known. You don't find him, he finds you. It's how it works. It's how God works. It's how we see it here in Exodus. We see it all throughout the whole Bible. Right. You say, okay, well, that's good. I get it. And I'm interested. I sense God is coming to me. And yes, I'm prepared to say that I respond to him. I believe in you. I believe you're real. I believe you came to us in Christ, who died for the forgiveness of my sins, was raised. I'm in. Right? I am a child of God. What now? What does it mean? What happens from now on in my life? What does it mean to be a child of God? One thing to get to that point, perhaps, of beginning. But what now? What does that involve from here on inwards? Right? I'm a child of God. Now, little Bible passage, God says to Moses, you saw what I've done to Egypt. I brought you here to myself. You're mine. Now, what now? All right. If you obey me fully, and keep my covenant. Obey me fully, keep my covenant. You say, well, Ed, that's straight away religious language. What are we talking about here? Obey me fully? Well, in a week or two, we might read the Ten Commandments. They are some of the rules, if you like, that God says, this is what it means to live like a child of mine. They're summed up for us later on in the Bible. What does God want us to do? Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love other people as you love yourself. That's what it means to obey him fully. And those two things have vast implications for every single aspect in your life. To keep my covenant. A covenant is simply a relationship at its most basic form. You want to think about a marriage, perhaps. Two parties are entering into a very unique relationship. They make promises to each other. For as long as they're faithful, each to their promise, the relationship is intact. As soon as one of them breaks it, the relationship is not intact, right? So here's where the interesting thing comes with God. He makes a covenant. With us. That is a very unique covenant. One which he hasn't even made with Israel. I want to read to you about the covenant, the relationship, the marriage that God wants to have with you and I. I want to read it to you from a place in the Bible called Jeremiah. Just listen to it very carefully. This is quite some time after Mount Sinai and quite some time before Jesus Christ. The days are coming, says God, when I will make a new covenant, entering into a new kind of relationship with the people of Israel. It won't be like the old covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and I led them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. This is the covenant I'll make with the people of Israel after that time, declares God. Here it comes. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, they will be my people, No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know God, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Friends, do you know if you're a child of God? If step one is true of you, if you said, yes, I believe it all, do you know that from that point on, there is a power that begins to work in your life that changes everything about you? It changes what you are. It changes what you are like. You become, as the Bible puts it, literally a new creation. You're not the same thing anymore. A child of God is not like every other non-child of God. You are something entirely different. That power is beginning to make you into a new human being. First, spiritually, what's inside of you, and eventually in time, physically, your body will be made entirely new. You become a human being that begins to think differently, one who begins to want different things in life, one that does different things. You become a human being that you yourself never thought you would or could. You become a human being, increasingly, day by day, more capable of obeying God more fully. That's the deal. That's the covenant. That's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. That is Christianity, is that, yes, I have come to you. I've done everything necessary for you to be my child. Your response involves, now live as my child, with the power that I'm going to release in your life. Yes, let's be sure, this doesn't happen with a magic wand and bam, you're perfect. He works slowly. He works over time. But he works. I love going to the beach in summer. And one of the things I really like doing with my kids is, particularly when the tide comes in, digging a hole. And then a channel out towards the water. And you know, as the tide washes up, waiting for it to actually fill the hole. And it's a lovely activity because it requires confidence in the fact that the tide is coming in, but it happens quite slowly, right? And I often wondered if that is a great analogy of how God's power is changing me as a person. It doesn't happen instantly, but it happens. And it happens unstoppably. And just like when we're waiting with the hole dug in the ground, you know, it seems that for ages nothing is happening, but every now and again there's a big swell or a big wave that comes and it just washes that bit of water into our hole. And we wait a bit longer and then another one comes. And then another one, and eventually the whole thing is just filled and swamped. So it is with the way that God's power is changing you and me, for every child of God. It is an unstoppable power. It works slowly, but every now and again in our lives, in every season of life, there's some wave that comes through that fills us that we want to start saying to ourselves, wow, yeah, you know what? I would never have responded to this situation the way I'm responding now. It's because of God. All of a sudden, my whatever it is that is changing, my fears, my anxieties, my worries, addictions that he breaks, abilities to love other people in ways that we never would. Like Pete asked the question at the start of the service, we get the evidence that God is at work by becoming the children of God who we never thought we would or could, because God is working in our lives. What is Christianity? It means that God comes to you, shows himself to you, and invites you to become his child. It then means, because you are a child of his, you live like a child of his. He supplies the power. He feeds you. He shows you what it means. He's patient with you. He helps you. And then lastly, what does it mean? We've said, God changes you to live like his child. Thirdly, lastly, well, it means that your life matters. The result of all this is that your life serves a grand purpose. Then, out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. You ever thought of your life like that? You are God's treasured possession. He looks at you and he goes, this is the most treasured, special thing that I have. You see, the fundamental thing that we all need in life is to be loved. To be loved by God, who created you, who wants you, who loves you, right? You live with that security forever on. It's who you are. Treasured possession, loved, right? That's you cannot think of that your life does not matter. Your life matters. A treasured possession of God, right? And as such, you'll be for me a kingdom of priests. I don't want to, that's a lot of concepts to explain, but priests, simple thing is priests do a very basic job. They show God. God uses priests to show himself to others, and he brings people to him. That's what Moses did, right? In the Exodus story, he functions a bit as a priest. He's the one who goes up the mountain, tells the people about God, and then people say, all right, tell God this, and he goes up and he tells God that. He sort of is the link between God and the people. If you're a Christian, well, that's your purpose in life. Purpose in life is to show people who God is, and to bring other people to him. We're all participating in that. All children of God. Different roles, different ways. Parents, you're a priest to your kids. Teachers, friends, no matter who you are part of that wonderful, dignifying role. God uses you to show himself to others and bring others to him. And lastly, a holy nation. To be holy means to be set apart. You're different. The fact is that the church is not like the rest of humanity. The human being who is a Christian is not like every other human being. You're different. You belong to God. Your life's purpose is to know him and to make him known. You're a treasured possession. You're to live like a child of his because he came to you to make you a child of his. That's it, folks. That's what God wants for you, for me. Each person in this building is on a different part of that journey. Some of us here have walked with him for a very long time. He's done remarkable growth in your life. Others have not begun, but you're here because God is coming to you. Some of us are children of God, but we're not growing to learn to live like children of him seriously enough. The two go together. Wherever you're out on this journey, this is it. This is Christianity. Today, if you haven't made a beginning, would you make it? Today, if you're very near the end, would you praise him and hang in? Today, if you're stuck and your obedience and covenant keeping is not where it should be, may God lead you to repent and return to it, to love him, love others. Wherever you are, I pray that we all may be true Christians in this room. True, thorough, God-glorifying, and us enjoying Christians. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you come to us, even today, even now. Thank you that your desire is always to show yourself. So I pray for each heart here today is ready to receive you, that they would. Even if it's still unclear, all the details, but a very simple thing, that the God of the universe has come to me and wants me to know him. Yes, Lord, please, I'm in. Show me what it means. That's it. That's enough. Father, I pray for the heart that knows you has come to the mountain. But even like Israel, despite all the power you've made available in our lives, we do not obey you as well as we should. Stir in us a longing, passionate desire to love you, to live like your kids, make you proud. Come to you every time to receive the help we need. And Father, I praise you for the remarkable work that you have done in the lives of every child of yours that sits in this building. We can fill probably books upon books of testimony of what you've done, of how we're different in ways that we never thought we would. And the only reason for it is you. The power of the blood applied. Wonder working power. And so we praise you for the freedom you give. Freedom from the penalty of sin and freedom from the power of sin. Would you increase it remarkably? We ask, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Music team, thanks.